At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome into A Hard Knocks Life. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen here is Taylor Dahl. Taylor, welcome to a little bit of a belated start to episode 2 of A Hard Knocks Life.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a little fitting because they made us wait. Now we made some people possibly wait for our kind of a rundown recap of it.
Yeah, I have HBO Max. That's what I'm subscribed to. Been a subscriber for a while, by the way, HBO, if you're listening, and was really excited to have Hard Knocks. And, you know, right at 8 o'clock central, you know, I'm there in the app. I'm waiting for it to refresh. We're a couple minutes in and I get a text from you and you're like, hey, is this working for you? I'm like, no, I'm checking Twitter. People are freaking out. And so I leaned into it a little bit. I think I had a tweet that said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody in the history of the world. just trying to have fun. Someone clearly messed up though, because it didn't even come on at 9. At 9, it was still not there. So there was clearly something that was wrong. But I think we had a little bit of fun with it, in its absence.
Yeah, it was. And that's because I had told you. So last week I didn't even turn it on. I was doing actually another podcast. So by the time I got done with that, I jumped on HBO Max and I was like, it's fine. I'll just be in there. I'll be a 15 minutes late. I wasn't doing the post episode. So I was like, as long as I watch it, I'm good. And so I jumped on at like 15, 20 minutes after it actually was released. So that's why I texted you, because I was like, did I miss that it doesn't go instantly or what is going on? But yeah, it was kind of funny how up in arms Twitter was. I was even talking to some of the people here in Jacksonville this morning because they were like, what really happened? And I was like, no one really knows. I don't think it just was very late and we were just waiting. And I was like, HBO posted, it's coming. Don't worry. We just had some difficulties. And one of the guys here, Dan, just said, honestly, that he said they a lot of times are working up to like the final seconds editing and getting things together. He was like, it could truly just be like one last minute something the Bears were like, no, that can't be in it, or whatever the case may be, and they had to edit and fix, and that was kind of the situation, which is very McCaskey's if they were like, wait, you can't put that that part in there.
Well, I wonder, like, big picture, I'm actually curious, but I think Patrick Finley wrote an article today about how there was no swear words in the episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is HBO. Like, there's plenty of swear words and all their stuff. And I wonder if that may have been a stipulation of the Bears' participation, was like, hey, we're not interested in airing the swear words. Let's make this as family friendly as possible. Because they're clearly beeping a lot of that out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's what I was wondering that too. And I saw a few people tweeting about it. Sadiq, he's on Twitter. He posted on episode 1, like, not sure if anybody else has noticed, but I haven't heard any swear words. And then last night he was like, once again, none of them. He also was pointing out some of the differences between this year's and previous years. And I will tell people, like, up front, I've never watched every single episode of previous years. It's just never been one of the things that I tuned into on a weekly basis. Like I am now, obviously, with a little extra incentive in it for me. But he even said the difference of there's not as much in camp. And I'm like, maybe we're 2 episodes in, so maybe we'll get more of that. But it's been a lot more like in game family, you know, we're hearing Jonathan Owens and kind of his Olympic stuff, and then DJ's family, and then in game mic'd up stuff, but not as much in camp stuff as they have previously. And like I said, I haven't watched as much to compare, but I saw a few people talking about that too.
Yeah, I think in previous years, there are several different avenues that Hard Knocks can go down. And, you know, it just kind of depends on where the showrunners want to take the show. I mean, you got to think, like you said, up until the last minute, these guys are really, they're writing scripts. They're getting the, I mean, it's kind of amazing how fast that they can put all this stuff together and make a pretty entertaining, you know, 50 plus minute show once a week off of something that, it doesn't exist if they're not there, right? I mean, it's just like getting camp footage and following some families around and things like that. And so, you know, maybe give Ryan Poles, maybe Kevin Warren, maybe George McCaskey. I don't know who's necessarily involved in these negotiations, but they may have said, hey, we went back, we watched this show. And we're it's total speculation, but like we went back, we watched the show. Really like it when you do these kinds of stories. You know, we would love to see more of this. We'd love to put our players in the spotlight and, you know, show the organization in that way. And I could see that maybe being, you know, some of the direction that the organization gave them. So it's a little more of that, but I think that that's fine. I think it's interesting and it gets you invested in some of the players. And there's some very interesting players, particularly someone is married to the greatest gymnast of all time. like that's pretty cool. So you say you're not a big Hard Knocks fan before this. So what's your kind of relationship with Hard Knocks anyway, before we get into it, because I've watched pretty much every year, and even on a team I don't care about, even the Aaron Rodgers stuff, like I still watched it. I still find it entertaining. It's almost a rite of passage for me in the summer to say, hey, Hard Knocks is on. I actually would rather watch an episode of Hard Knocks than like a random preseason game. You know, so I just kind of find it interesting. I like to maybe find a player or two that you get invested in, and then it just sort of rolls into the regular season. So to me, it's just this like transitional show for the calendar.
And I I've just been kind of weird about it. Like I said, I've never watched a full season of anything of any of them. I've tuned in moments. To me, I felt like previous years, I wasn't learning anything I didn't already know. It was always kind of like the storylines, you know, maybe some under the radar guys that honestly you've never really heard of after that, to be fair. And maybe the Bears will have some of those. I know we'll get to some of the underdog stories and that too. But to me, it's always been kind of, I know all of these things already going on. And so I just don't care as much if it's not about a team associated with things that I want to know even more about. Like the Bears, obviously I do Making Monsters because I want to know about all of these players and what their wives do and how their kids are and where they went to high school. I don't necessarily care as much about the Jets unless they become a Bear type of thing. Not that I don't care at all. I still love storylines, and that's why the draft process is so fun for me too, because I love learning about these guys. And then once they get drafted, you hear all these incredible stories of kind of things they've gone through in life. But I think also maybe a part of it has been like working this time of year, working in radio, like for a sports radio station. This time of year is chaos for us. So it's just like, I mean, between training camp and preseason games and all the pressers that are going on and all of these other things, you're already just like so much of this, not actual football, but like the baby steps before football, that to me was just another one of those things, you know?
Yeah. Another one of those things you got to get through. You put it on the calendar. Well, I think that, you know, I wanted to maybe do an episode recap, but I think the categories might actually get us there a little bit better, because so much of what I want to recap, I think we could fit into a category. So why don't we just start off with the Annie Award, which is the best underdog moment. And there's several to choose from. So I'll let you start as the guest. And who did you think took home the Annie Award this week?
So I think this one's hard for me because, and I tweeted about it live last night and then a little bit today too, because there's two players that really popped out to me. I feel like you may choose one of those. If you don't, then I definitely think we still need to mention this person, because I'm going to go the other route just because I feel like you may go my first one. But I'm going to say Valus. I think that I know it's a surprise, but I tweeted this last night that I don't know if I've ever rooted for / cheered for a player so hard that has also made me so angry many times as I have Valus Jones Jr. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I feel like some of it may just be like the way he's kind of battled through a lot of things, and you've never seen him completely give up on anything. The coaches have never, you know, they've had their moments of clear frustration with him, but They keep trying to find a way to fit him on this team. And maybe a part of that is it's one of Ryan Pohl's first draft picks. So they're trying to make something out of it. Maybe they see the good out of Velus. When you go back and you do look at his college film and how good he was in the return game and how fast he is. And when he does see green, he's gone. So maybe all those little aspects add up. But to me, I feel like not many people around the league would really know much about Velus Jones Jr. So us as Bears fans, we've talked a lot about him because he's muffed punts and he's dropped balls and he's like kind of on this bubble. And they even said that in the episode last night of like being one of those roster bubble players and this kind of having to be the season to prove himself. And now he's had 3 days at running back when they're filming and he's going through all these running back drills and having to do all this stuff. I don't know how many people around the league really would know what we've all been through with Velus Jones Jr. So outside of Chicago, because I've talked to some people here in Jacksonville and they honestly were like, I kind of remember you guys drafting him, but I don't remember much since. And I'm like, well, yeah, like every bad mistake is popping out to us, but other fans, other people aren't noticing that as much. So I kind of liked seeing him, the light get shined on him a little way, but in an honest way too. It wasn't like, here's Velus Jones Jr. He was, you know, one of Ryan Pohl's first draft picks and he's got moved to running back because of how deep their roster is. No, they were honest. Like there's been mistakes and they've had to try and figure some stuff out to find a place for Velus to work. And then, oh, by the way, the kickoff changed this week and it caters to running back. So is that going to benefit, or they say it could cater to running backs. Is that going to benefit Velus? So I really like that. I liked how they fit it, but I liked how they were honest with where Velus is on this roster too, without having to just call him out on every single mistake that he's had in the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that first season where the Bears earned the number one pick and eventually traded it off. I mean, you can look back and some of those pivotal moments were linked back to Velus Jones mistakes. I mean, he really did cost, you know, it's hard to point at a football game and point to one or two plays. It's not really fair to, you know, the 22 players playing, you know, a full football game. But you look back and some of those mistakes really were pivotal moments that cost the Bears a few games and really put them into the number one spot and led to where we're at now, which I think most Bears fans are pretty happy with.
So do we say thank you, Velus?
Right. Like, you know, he's kind of the ultimate tank tool there. But like, is, you know, and I think what you're describing is what a lot of coaches think about. You know, they see something in a player, they see the talent, you know, they see the high marks on a certain part of the game, and it just doesn't all come together, you know, for one reason or another. And it could be many different reasons depending on the player, but that may be what we're seeing with Velus Jones. And, you know, people see this move to running back and say, oh, well, the Bears are moving him to running back. Therefore, like he's going to definitely have a role and boy, they're probably going to trade Khalil Herbert now. And like, you know, they assume some of these things where I'm like, oh, they're kind of maybe saying he probably doesn't have a future taking up a wide receiver roster spot. And they're trying to find a way to see if it works on the roster. I still see this as a core special teamer, not somebody who's going to take away carries from someone like Swift or Herbert. Yeah. And so, you know, I think they're being creative and trying to find a way, but I think that that's also an alarm bell if you're Velus Jones to have this move be made so late in the year and maybe not be communicated right away, that his roster spot very much could be in danger.
Yeah. And I think I want to say he even said something along like, I'll do whatever they ask me to do at this point. Velus knows. Like, I mean, Velus knows how many games also were on him. You saw those moments. And that's why I think I cheer for him, because even in those times when he knew he almost him alone cost the Bears wins and losses, or losses, I guess we could say, cost them wins, got them losses, he still would go out there. You would never see him like pouting and making this big deal of things. He was always kind of like, all right, well, I screwed up again. And that has to be so deflating for a player too. You know, like those moments where the muffed punts, especially, and those moments when everybody's watching you and you're the guy and everyone's like, all you had, like you had one job, catch the ball, and you're not doing that. And so I kind of see him like battling through, but I also think that he's kind of to the point where he's accepting, like, if I want to be in the NFL, I probably am at least for Chicago going to be a special team player. And I do think it's beneficial that in a year where you can now have two returners on the field is probably the perfect time. But I do also think, to your point, Jeff, that it could be a situation where maybe the Bears are trying to make this move a little bit too, to show other people, not saying someone's going to come give us anything significant for Velus Jones Jr., but maybe it's an area where someone that is really needing some sort of return guy is looking at this and being like, oh, okay, well, he has played receiver. He's now playing running back. He's been a kick returner. He's been a punt returner. He's done all of these things. So maybe they're showcasing him a little bit, but also at the same time seeing if this spot works for him.
Yeah, no, we've seen the Bears give a late draft pick away for a return specialist before. Yeah. That has been a thing that has happened. So it's not like another team couldn't do something similar if they see that in a player on the Bears. So, you know, it can go both ways. All right, so when you said two players, I had two players written down. Neither of them were Velus. So I thought that you might mention Austin Reed. Because okay. I mean, there is an underdog story. They're following his parents. Like, you know, it's kind of a fun little story. You know, he had that it was a Dante Pettis catch that was challenged in the fourth quarter, and
his poor parents. They were like, "No,
what are you doing? Like, why are you?" You know, they're clinging to these stats. I love that. And you know, he comes up and he's got that quote where he's like, "How about Sean McDermott challenging a pass in the fourth? Just let it go, man. Let me have it." I thought that was pretty funny. But I actually am going to give it to Ian Wheeler. So talk about running backs.
That was my other.
Okay. That's what I figured. To me, you know, here's a player that we have probably most people probably don't know. Although Mason West had an interview with Ian Wheeler earlier this year. So Bears fans and Second City Gridiron fans may have heard of Ian Wheeler, but he's going to med school, but he's put that on the back burner until he can pursue this NFL career. He's fast, right? Yeah. He's got some skill. And so it was the first time I saw some real action out of him. And you kind of saw the relationship with the running backs coach, you know, trying to ride him pretty hard, but also, you know, give him support and some of those things. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And that was definitely a guy where, you know, they follow the four-string quarterback and you kind of know the score. Like, Austin Reed's not going to be around on the active roster this year. Like, that's not going to happen. But you follow a guy like Ian Wheeler and you're like, hey, man, running backs get hurt. You know, you start to like, can this guy make the practice squad? Can he be around? Could he maybe contribute down the line if something opens up for him? This is like the first player I was like, oh,
yeah,
this could be a cool underdog story.
Yeah. And so Ian Wheeler was definitely like my number one, but I had a feeling he'd be yours. So that's why I went the Velus route. But Austin Reed actually popped through went through my mind too. He's from right down the road. He went to St. Augustine High School, which is like 30 minutes from me. One of the guys that I've talked to about a few times on this podcast, Denny Thompson, who runs 6 points, works with Austin Reed. That's where Caleb was most of the offseason, was working with Austin Reed. And at the 6 points facility, obviously with Will Hewlett too. So I know a ton about Austin Reed. We're very familiar with Austin Reed here in Jacksonville. St. Augustine football team's been really good for a while too. So we've kind of had that backstory of when he was still here, still in high school. But I think also, there's a little, he has the personality, and it's interesting because we have Caleb Williams, who has this very, like, very mature for a 22-year-old. I tell all my friends, like, there's no way I had anywhere close to that, like, maturity level when I was 22 years old. But in addition to that, he still has that fun personality where you feel like you just like want to be friends with Caleb Williams. And you get that from Austin Reed too, like him and the Cole Kmet exchange, them talking about Love Island and that kind of joking about that. And then seeing his parents, even in the first Hard Knocks, they showed his parents and they were so bummed because it was like the rain delay. And then so this one, he finally gets in the game and then it gets called back for a penalty. And I was like, what an experience for the beginning of NFL. But yeah, I think with Ian Wheeler was the one to me, especially because he just had 2 touchdowns on Saturday. So people were already, even though it was late in the game, we know when somebody has those back-to-back touchdowns as a running back and you're kind of, like you said, you get on alert, because you get on high alert, because those are type of players that you could see making the roster. And whether it be your, you know, RB1, 2, 3, 4, or in your special teams, it's somebody that you could actually see making it if things go the way they want. I really hope we see more of him earlier in the game, the next 2 preseason games, because I would like to see him not in the fourth quarter to how it kind of matches up with that. But there were, yeah, that stuck out to me. The running backs coach was extra hard on him, I felt like. But I was like, I feel like they did that intentionally to make you feel like, okay, this guy could be in med school, but he's taking this, like, which is hard, by the way. Like, not easy to be a doctor, to graduate and be a doctor. But also he's doing this because he loves football and wants to try it out, and they're not taking it easy on him. You know, they're being just as hard as anyone else. So that story was really fun. I do want to see more of Ian Wheeler, though, I will say that. And so that's a positive that you would take out of that episode.
I'm pretty sure that that running backs coach is hard on everybody. I'm pretty sure that all those coaches are hard on everybody, right? Like, I don't think it was just that. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely very like football guy stuff, right? Like, yeah. You know, that's certainly none of that fell out of my expectations of listening to a position coach. We'll just put it that way. I think the people that are like, what about Austin Booker? He's not an underdog. We'll be talking a lot about Austin Booker this year. So I heard some people like say, oh, Austin Booker, you know,
Fun. That was fun though. Like he was feeling himself. And I love that. Like he was like, oh, I'm killing. I can't remember the word he used. Oh, because actually Austin Reed said something about that too. Like, I'm tearing up this off, or I'm something with this offense. I wish I could remember the words.
Oh, yeah,
and
then like
Austin Booker. And I'm owning this offense or something like that. Yeah. And then Austin Booker kind of had a similar comment, like in reverse of how he was playing. So those little tidbits are fun. Austin Booker, definitely not the end of the conversation about him when it comes to this season.
Yeah, the defensive line coach said like first sack of many, right? And I thought, yep, that's great. All right. So the Jay-Z award for the coolest moment of the show, again, you know, leading into this Hard Knocks theme. I didn't necessarily think that there were a ton of cool moments. And so I'm very curious to see what you came up with.
Yeah, this one, I actually had Austin Reed in my cool moments because for me, it was a cool moment. Like I've literally known the kid known of the kid now for 5-6 years. I just think the Keenan and Jalen storyline in general was cool. We had already seen glimpses of it a little bit about Keenan's remarks of saying, I haven't had a catch on Jalen yet. And then we see clips from like the next practice where he finally gets a catch on Jalen. But I also think that when we talk about this offseason, and you mentioned in the top when we were saying like how maybe whoever does it, whether it's McCaskey's or Ryan Poles or whoever's deciding what's going into Hard Knocks, very convenient that just recently the top 100 drops and not either Jalen or DJ Moore is in there, and both are highlighted pretty fiercely in this episode. Good timing, perfect timing for that's why Hard Knocks is good at what they do. But I do think that the Keenan Jalen story is fun because you also go back to the Pro Bowl, and even that, like, you know, Jalen ended up clinching the win for the NFC because he knocks the ball out of Keenan's hand. And so it was kind of a thing when the Bears signed Keenan was, oh, well, you know, Jalen was the one that kept him from getting the touchdown at the end of that NFC-AFC game. And then now we're getting into he gets a contract, and you're hoping that obviously this offense is what we think it can be. But also if your defense, a guy like Jalen Johnson, is shutting down the receiver that you think is one of the best in the league, that's also what you want to see. I think that storyline was fun. It's what you want to see is these two battling it out, and also Keenan being like, I'm going to get him, and then getting him. Because if Keenan's getting Jalen, he's going to get a lot of other corners in this league.
Yeah, they had that highlight at one point where the ball like just basically kind of went off of Keenan
like
Allen's
right slipped through his arm.
Like it did. I did not understand what happened. I actually stopped it and rolled it back. Cause like, I don't understand. How did Jalen come up with that? And then they were talking about like, what happened?
That might've been the luckiest pick I've ever had.
Yeah. Cause we just like, just appeared in his hands.
He's like, oh, hey.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those weird moments where it just, you know, perfectly sailed through Keenan Allen's hands. But that was weird. Cause I didn't understand it. Like, I had to keep watching it because it was like, how did this get through? But they were joking about it. You know, again, like you get a new guy coming in, you know, he's been around for a long time. You don't necessarily know how those guys are going to act, you know, that have been around the league a long time. They could kind of act like they're too good, or they could have a rough period. He was in the Los Angeles, you know, back to San Diego, right? You know, he was in with one franchise for a long time. This is his first time not being in that franchise. He was traded. It wasn't, you know, a free choice for him. I know that he agreed to come to Chicago, but like, it wasn't a free agency signing. This was something that's was put upon him because he wasn't willing to take a reduction in salary. And so you just don't know what those guys are going to be. And he's been everything that you heard about him in LA, that he's a great locker room guy. He's a team leader. And he's seems like he's not only helping out Caleb and the wide receiver room, but he's also having that relationship outreach with the secondary, which we all believe is going to be one of the best in the league. So I think that's a really, that's a good marker for that. Kind of in that vein, my choice, I don't know how common this is. Maybe this is a lot of teams are like this, but, and maybe they're just focusing on this, but you notice a lot of the starters, a lot of the guys that are like the stars of this team, really and truly being engaged throughout the entire game and cheering for their teammates that are down roster. And the one that sticks out on this episode was the big Micah Baskerville pick six. And people were just, you know, loving him up. Like the starters were coming up and just like really celebrating his success when he came to the sidelines, you know, including Herbert. And I just thought like, this is cool. This is like really cool to see, you know, one through 90 being in for each other here, you know, and this team's going to get condensed. It's going to be 53 active players and in a practice squad. Not all of these guys are going to stick around, but to see that like level of camaraderie, to me, that's just really cool. I like seeing that.
Yeah, me too. And it, even go back to the first episode, because it was kind of similar. I remember at one point they were talking about, they just kind of panned to the sideline. It was DeMarcus Walker, and he was talking about the quarterback room. And he was like, how many quarterbacks can we keep? Because I kind of like everybody. Like, it was kind of that sense where you do feel like they get along really well. And the podcast I just did with Matt Hamilton, that's what he said. His biggest takeaway from the camp this year was just like, the vibe there, everybody likes each other. Everybody's getting along. Everybody is like high in spirits. And, you know, you've heard glimpses of it in the past, but he was like, it's just a little different this year. And you can feel the energy, which you love to hear. You want that positive energy. We've had a lot of years of not positive energy. But yeah, I think I felt a little bad because honestly, I Baskerville and Ogbogbamiga, however you say Ogbogbamiga, both of them I was kind of bashing on the week before, and then they both actually had pretty decent games this last week. So I was like, okay, maybe I just needed to call them out a little bit. But it is, I feel like the, and this is part of Hard Knocks, I'm sure too, we're seeing these guys highlighted that you're not normally going to talk about a ton. And then you see these star players who you do, you are familiar with, and you can kind of follow their storyline throughout the NFL talking about and cheering for these guys. But I mean, they were there at one point, not saying I don't think there was ever a point where Keenan or DJ didn't have a job in the NFL. They weren't ever to that point, but they were rookies coming out of, you know, coming into the NFL and hoping that they were going to be able to carry on from what they were doing. So it is fun, though. You just, you definitely see a different vibe. You see a lot of storylines that also kind of all put together. And that's one of my favorite things about making monsters, Jeff, is when you start, when I talk to one coach, and then that coach had recruited X player 10 years ago, but had coached this player at this college and this at this JUCO school this year. And I feel like a lot of these players are kind of similar too, because whether they played in the same conference or they did go to the same school or their schools played against each other or they had been watching them. And that's like the, you see Mercedes Lewis has been in the league for 19 years. And then there's guys here that were like probably in fourth or fifth grade when Mercedes was drafted. So and all of that is coming together so well on the team. And so to bring so many different personalities, this is, I think, what Ryan Poles is really good at. And that's why he is the way he is when it comes to characters. And people kind of mock that a little bit. Sometimes of, oh, you're not taking Jalen Carter and blah, blah, blah. But I think he is very adamant about who he selects to come to the Bears because he knows how to fit these personalities and egos all together and make them work in one.
I mean, it can be something that if it doesn't work, you can trash it. It's like a Matt Nagy with the BU. And when things were good, people were like, oh, that's cool, right? Like, embrace it. And then things shifted and they started losing games and everybody just starts mocking it. And like, you can kind of turn a lot of those things on their head, right? The hits principle. I have certainly mocked the changing of turnovers to the ball because that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But if hits works, right? If you start winning games and everybody buys in and it becomes this foundational thing, then it's great. If it fails because you're not the type of leader to really carry that through, or you don't have the right guys, you're not getting all the pieces in place, then it becomes something that could be mocked, right? Like all those things can kind of be turned on their head. But I think that's probably the right takeaway. And again, this is a show, it's curated and all that kind of stuff. But I think you're seeing some signals that the character building and the reinforcing, you're seeing evidence of that. And to me, I really like seeing it. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we'll continue to see, obviously in Hard Knocks, we'll get more looks and we'll see how they do each of these episodes. But I just think in general, with the personalities we do have on this team, and it was, you know, recently this week, it came out with DJ and people were like, oh, I didn't know DJ had a personality. And he was like, I've always had a personality. I just don't share it with everybody. But we're to that point where this team is having so much fun that they want to let their personality shine. And like you said, that's fantastic. If things go downhill, though, please don't. But if for some reason it doesn't turn out the way we think it's going to turn out, yeah, all of those things that we say are great of these big personalities and of the hits and of Ryan Poles not wanting the bad character guys and of the painted nails and of all of this stuff is going to quickly turn if they start losing. But if they win, this will be it'll be really fun for a long time.
Right. I mean, the 85 Bears, not that we need to get into an 85 Bears conversation. The 85 Bears were a great football team, maybe the most dominant football team of all time, you know, in their era, right? They had a defensive scheme that was unique, and, you know, only the Dolphins really solved it, and no one else picked up on it and replicated it. And they had just dogs everywhere on that defense. Just, you know, they have multiple Hall of Famers, right? Like, I mean, it's just like an amazing group of people. And their offense had an amazing offensive line, you know, the best running back of all time, right? Like, it was a great team. But they're remembered because they were full of personalities and they had this like special like connection to the city. And so this idea of like vibes and being fun is part of it, right? The Cubs, when they won their championship, had some vibes to them and they were fun. And we'll remember those players, not only because they won the championship, but because there was a feel good moment associated with them, like that, just the vibes of it. So I think that there is something to it. And hopefully we're talking about this, you know, in hindsight in a few years, and we can look back and be like, yeah, remember that when they were on Hard Knocks and we started getting those storylines. So, all right, well, we're going to do real quick. We're going to take a break. On the other side of it, we'll finish up the rest of our categories. Stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Taylor, let's talk about the best soundbite. I would say just quote that stuck out to you as being the most fun. I wrote down at least two. So let's see what you got.
So I was looking at my notes because as I was watching, I ended up watching late last night and I was doing it like on my notes on my phone. So I'm trying to remember exactly what I was even writing. But because I said somebody must have said Williams looks pretty good. And then they said, hey, let's do it. So I'm trying to remember exactly what that is. But one that pops out as I was reading that, and I think it was probably one of my favorite parts to the entire episode in general. And I was just about to put this in the Jay-Z award, but then I was like, ah, I think it belongs in this next with quote or soundbite, even though I cannot remember the exact wordage. But when Caleb misses Rome in the end zone and it shows his mom in the stands and she's like, great route, Rome, you know, like, you know, way to create separation, whatever. And then they show Caleb and Rome talking on the sideline. And when he's explaining, like, Caleb's going through his thought process of, you know, this is what I thought was going to happen. That's why the ball went over here. And Rome's like, no, I understand. This is what I was doing. I loved that moment because number one, it's Caleb taking control of this offense very quickly. He's going to go up to his receivers and say, hey, this is where my thought process was. And the fact that Rome didn't get frustrated because he didn't get the catch, he was like, no, man, like, I understand. This is what I was thinking. That's how you create quarterback wide receiver connections that will last for a really long time.
Yeah, that's really cool. And again, Hard Knocks, you get people mic'd up, you know, Roman Dunze's mom was up in the stands and you're kind of talking through her emotions. Again, I like that stuff. I think that's fun. For me, I had two. The first one was Caleb talking to Rome when Rome was taping up his forearm before practice and, you know, he had like a gauze that he was putting on. And Caleb says, you going clubbing, bro? just said it looked like a fishnet or something when he was wrapping it. I thought that was really funny. It's kind of a fun moment. And then there was like a very football guy thing that happened like right after that, which is Caleb putting on his shoulder pads and he's like, do you see the other strap? The number of times that I put on my shoulder pads and one of the straps like just got lost. Like I was like, oh, I can totally. I mean, the number of times that happened, I thought that was pretty fun. But my favorite is probably the most simple, is DJ Moore catching a football in the preseason game, going down and goes, I like football.
Well, and he's also getting drilled by like multiple people.
Right,
and
just gets popped.
Just like getting his yak yards that he always gets no matter what. And then afterwards, he's just like, I love football. And that's what, like, first of all, you can tell DJ actually genuinely loves football. And you can tell that a lot of these guys on this roster genuinely love football. I don't know if you – and people will argue everybody that's playing loves football. I'm not sure that everybody that is in the NFL loves football to the level where they just are genuinely out there having a good time. Look at what DJ Moore has had to go through his career and has just keeps going and is still saying something like this. And especially in that moment when you're just getting drilled by massive defensemen, and that is what's bringing out the love of this sport for you.
Yeah. There's a good saying I've heard, you know, a few times over the years. And that's, there are a lot of guys that love football and there are a lot of guys that love what football does for them or what football brings for them. So they love the other stuff associated with football. I think that there are plenty of guys that, you know, maybe they did love football at some point, but it becomes, you know, it becomes a job, it becomes a grind, it becomes a career. You know, there's injuries that stack up. And at some point, you know, you kind of lose that and you're trying to hang on or maybe you walk away, right? Like we've seen players walk away early. Some very good players that were on the door of like giant contracts, but they couldn't keep doing it. They just didn't want to do that. Yeah. So I agree with you that not everybody does love this thing. And that's why it's so important for those scouts and those decision makers when they're bringing people in to find those guys that really are motivated because they do have a love for the game, because sometimes when it gets hard, like that's what's going to carry you through. And I think DJ Moore seems like a very understated guy. And you know, he's like the opposite. He's the total opposite of a diva receiver. So I don't know what the opposite of diva is, but he really is just this like workman-like receiver, but he's got superstar talent and that does not help him make top 100 lists. Right. Yeah. Like he's not showy in that way. And you look at Roma Dunze, seems like the nicest personality. Yeah. He's probably not going to be the type of guy that's going to be a diva receiver either. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think Keenan Allen, anybody would ever have accused him of being a diva receiver. So now you've got three guys that have immense talent with varying levels of historical success in the NFL and their wide receiver room, none of them have a larger than life personality.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive by Ryan Poles to put that together.
It is. It honestly is. And like, especially those ways, I think they all connect. They all have like very similar personalities. I think the main thing, I mean, we could go to what Jalen's comment, the Hollywood comments with Caleb, and then people will be like, but your quarterback has the Hollywood look at me personality. But I don't even think that. I've heard so many quotes of Caleb talking recently of, you know, like he'll make comments where he's just like, he's very comfortable in himself. And I think there is a difference between confidence and arrogance or cockiness, whatever you want to say. And Caleb's very confident, rightfully so, of everything that kind of he's been through in his career. And we talk about he was like the forefront of NIL and one of the first quarterbacks to kind of go through that of making a lot of money and winning the Heisman and going through all of these things. Another one that I just thought of when it was Poles and Cunningham, maybe when they were watching and Poles was like, Caleb looks different today. Yeah. Was that Cunningham in there with him? I'm trying to remember. Yeah. But he was like, Caleb looks different today. And they were both like, yeah, he does. And Ian was like, well, he has a game. Like he's playing. He knows he's playing.
He's locking in.
That just shows kind of the mentality of Caleb too. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's in there now. Like you're going to see a difference because he knows it's something. It's not a practice. He's not going to be standing on the sideline. He's going to be playing a game in a couple days.
Yeah. And that takes us to our next category, which is the footballism. And I did football guyism, things that you hear only on a football field or only from like football guys. I thought there'd be more of these. That's why I wanted to make it a whole category. I didn't have a lot. I actually had only one thing that I heard that was like, oh, that's a total like just football guy thing. Did you have anything written down?
That's what I'm trying. I did. And let me look at my phone. Cause I remember actually writing like two things down where I was like, this is probably something that I'm not understanding the right way because it's not the way I speak. But you go first and maybe I'll trigger something.
So one of the things that I always find interesting around, you know, football teams, football, is that referring to players by a nickname, for sure. Like that's just kind of fun. Like everybody usually gets a nickname. And I think in the first episode, they were talking about Eberflus was going down and he was talking about the new nickname for Benedet. He was calling him the Eagle or whatever because of that, you know. And then he says something to Rome and Rome's like, I don't get a nickname or something like that. And he's like, you don't need a nickname. Your name's Rome. Like it's Rome. Already like, yeah. it's cool. Right. But one of the things that I find to be very like football guy thing is just referring to the player by their number. And in that conversation with Poles and Cunningham, that starts off by Poles saying 18 looks different.
18. Yeah. Yeah.
We just called him 18. And I just thought, okay, like that's the first time I've heard that. You hear that all the time, right? Like that, you know, just being referred to the number. But I just don't know how many other sports are like that, where you just refer to the player. I mean, it's Caleb Williams. Like you can just say Caleb. Like no one's gonna like say Caleb who? Like you know.
Yeah, you don't even have to say first last name.
right, but you're referring to it as 18. So I thought that was very football guyism for me.
It is funny. I joke about things because I'm not the best with jersey numbers. It's just never been my forte. I'm not that person that like when I'm watching a game can immediately, you know, the obvious ones. I'm going to know probably the starting roster, but there are certain times where I'm like, hold on, is that this number? But certain numbers click, like 54 forever is going to click. It's just going to be in my head. 23 forever going to click. And so I'll find myself sometimes though, like if I'm driving, for example, and there's an exit and the exit number is a certain number where I'll be like, oh, like that's Roma Doomsday exit, you know, like stuff like that. And I'll catch myself doing that. And it always makes me laugh a little bit. And so I noticed that actually in that, because when he said 18, I was like, it's literally the first overall pick that you just drafted that's trying to save your franchise. But 18 works. We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. I mean, it's just a random thing that I picked up on that I thought that was worth mentioning.
That is, I guess I didn't write. So I don't know if anything like super popped out in a way that I felt like it was a full on guyism. I will say, because we didn't mention this at all, the part two where they were talking to Caleb about the referees and kind of like making friend with the referees. It was really interesting to me. Not surprising. I'm not going to say surprising because I get that they want their quarterbacks to be familiar with the guys that are going to be calling their plays and pretty much in certain situations, saving them in certain games. And it's been very opposite for the Bears in recent years, but it was interesting to kind of see how it went out. Not just like, hey, this is so-and-so, like know his name because he's going to be, you know, this judge, whatever. Oh no, he's from Seattle. He's the athletic director for this school. Like, okay. That's very interesting.
That was actually brand new to me. I did not know that they went through and talked about, I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, you get, if you watch enough of those mic'd up moments, you know, there's interaction between the referees and the players, you know, they're not like, you know, they don't have muzzles on. They are talking to each other. And so it is good that there is that prep so that they know who they're talking to. But yeah, it's very interesting. And Caleb's like, how often am I going to be seeing these guys?
Yeah.
You know, and the guy's like, well, like, you know,
maybe no time a year. Maybe
you might see a crew twice. You might see a crew not at all. So it probably takes about 2.5 years to meet them all. And you're like,
yeah,
I never even thought of that. Like I never even thought of how many of these crews they see and how long it would take to kind of meet all these guys and whatever. But yeah, that was an interesting moment too.
Yeah.
All right. Who won the episode?
This is a good one. I could go so many ways with this because I think I could easily say like a Jalen or a DJ, or I could say Rome because he, with his song, actually knowing the lyrics is a start versus Caleb Williams. But I'm going to say DJ Moore's little girl. I don't know if it's Ariel or Ariel, but she was fantastic. She won this episode. I think that, number one, her going back and forth with the Bills fan, and she was like, no, Bills suck. And she was like, go Bears. And I'm like, girl, get it. Like, I can already tell that you can tell she just grew up around football. First of all, she's very confident and does not care. And she's been like that day one since Chicago. I remember, I want to say it was his opening presser, and she's like on the mic stand with him talking in the microphone. But I love that. There were so many little moments with her where I felt like, it's cool to see that anyway, DJ dad and DJ receiver. I like seeing that aspect of things, but seeing her go back and forth with the Bills fan was fantastic to me.
Yeah. Obviously super cute. And then the interaction, and the guy was like, I got a Bills jersey for you if you want. And she's like, no. Bears only. And then they showed her a little later and she was cheering. She's jumping up and down. And she said, I think she was like, go Buffalo, go Bears.
Yeah.
And she kind of kept repeating that. I was like, all right. Like,
I think she was trying, and that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, I wonder if she was just trying to, like, in her mind, like go Buffalo, but like go Bears, you know, like go away Buffalo, but go Bears. But she was a little confused with that, but it's okay. She'll get away. Yeah.
You know, in episode one, I gave who won the episode to Matty Refluse's wife for, you know, the glow up and
giving the beard back.
And here I am on episode two. This is actually what I had written down was DJ Moore's daughter to win the episode, because I really think she stole the show. They went to an ice cream shop, and I have to mention this, right? So they go to the ice cream shop. It's all pink, and then like vanilla pink ice cream. I didn't understand the pink part of it. I don't know why the museum of ice cream is pink. That sort of escaped me. But at one point, DJ Moore eats a hot dog flavored ice cream.
With real relish on it.
What in the world was happening with that? And would you eat hot dog flavored ice cream?
I wouldn't. And I will tell you, I love hot dogs. Like, I'm a big hot dog fan. Like, I always have hot dogs at my house. There'll be that random night for dinner, I want something easy, I'll eat a hot dog. No problem with the hot dogs from me, but I don't think I could do that. And I couldn't, his face, like, he doesn't ever say anything. They're like, how do you feel? And he's just kind of like,
doesn't say anything. He doesn't want to say anything bad. So he probably just doesn't say anything at all. Right. There's that moment in Jurassic Park where Jeff Goldblum's character says, you know, your scientists were too busy trying to figure out if they could, and they didn't stop to ask why. That's what I want to say about that. Like, you know, you were trying to figure out if you could make ice cream flavored like a hot dog, but you needed to ask yourself, should you? Like, that isn't something that should happen. But
yes, sorry, real quick, because this is something that kind of trickled into today, but Valus and his ferret.
There you go. We did not mention that. Yes.
Someone said, what's the most exotic animal you ever had? And he was like, a ferret. And they were like, oh, and he's like going on. And then someone's like, did you hold it? And he was like, Yeah.
Obviously.
Why wouldn't hold you? My ferret.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Lester's wife adopted a ferret. And so he has this like elderly ferret that was mm-hmm. like turned in and wanted to save it. And so they have a ferret and he brings it on our show. At least, I don't know how many times it's been on camera, but it's definitely before we start. He's always got this ferret. And I'm like, are you a ferret guy now, Lester? And Lester seems to like this ferret. So I keep like tagging him in these Bayless ferret stories because
that's fantastic. You know,
maybe it's a new favorite player for our guy, Lester. Anything we missed before we get out of here?
Yeah, that's why I was just reading over some of mine. If there was anything that I like, football was on there. I really wish, because I had this highlighted of someone saying, Williams looks pretty good. And then someone was like, hey, let's do it. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it might have been Rome's mom and whoever she was sitting by in the stands.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yep. They were like, Williams looks pretty good. And she was like, hey, let's do it. Like, right. And I was like, heck yeah. I know you're maybe just talking about this game, but we're talking about doing the whole thing. Like, yeah. Let's do all of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Rome's mom.
Yeah, so. That's what I was trying to remember. Because they showed her a couple times. It was a little bit towards the end. But yeah, I mean, I just think there's a lot of little good tidbits. I think that the main thing, which you mentioned, Jeff, is that it just seems like this team is more cohesive than we've seen ever, or at least in a really long time. And when you see like little things with Shane Waldron and the Caleb Williams slide, and then he's like, hey, do you like my slide, coach? And Shane's like, yeah, like little things like that are so much fun to see, because those are things we would have never known. We would have never known right. that conversation happened on the sideline if it wasn't for Hard Knocks. And that is what makes Hard Knocks cool, is you get this little background look at some of the side conversations that are completely missed when you're not mic'd up. The occasional times you're getting mic'd up or whatever. I always wonder that too, because he'll say, like Caleb at practice, be like, I'm mic'd up, guys. It's hot. Mic's hot. You know, how much they hold back. And I'm like, I want one time to one player just not say anything. Just let us hear it all.
I think that, you know, kind of to what you're saying, this gives a window into an otherwise unknowable situation. I understand it's curated and all that. Like, I'm not saying this is just totally behind the scenes. I get it. There's some varnish here, but to me, this year was always going to be really important. And I went out of my way to go to the NFL draft in Detroit because I wanted to see this in person. Obviously, I didn't know that they were going to take Rome Odunze. This is what I hoped. That was on record. That was what I wanted. And it happened. And I got to be, you know, in the press room with both of those guys for their first, you know, one of their first interviews as Chicago Bears. I wanted to be at the Hall of Fame game because it's, you know, the opening of the season. I wanted to see this celebration of Devin Hester, which was the last, you know, he was part of the last Super Bowl team. Steve McMichael was part of the last Super Bowl winning team in Chicago, because it felt like, you know, I don't know about closure, but like real like celebration of the last great teams in Chicago. Yep. Whereas you have this moment that could lead to the next, you know, good run for the Bears. And so it felt important to be in these places. And I think that this documentary allows us some additional insight into the start of what could be a special run for Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also seeing a little bit more with Eberflus and Ryan Poles has been, I feel like, for the majority, pretty loved here since the start. I know there were some question marks in the beginning because it was like Byron Pringle and Nikhil Harry, and there was only so much he could do with what he was given that first offseason. But I think pretty quickly when people saw Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker and Braxton Jones and like some of those draftees from that year, Jack Sanborn undrafted, and people very quickly kind of jumped on the Ryan Poles train. But Eberflus, I think, has gotten a lot of criticism, and there's definitely moments where he has deserved the criticism. I'm not saying he hasn't, but I also think he was also dealt a short hand when he first came here. And so it's fun to also see that aspect of like his personality a little bit more too, and how it seems like the players really do like Matt Eberflus and they trust Matt Eberflus. So it'll be, I like seeing that. Obviously, it doesn't matter how much you like players. We talk about all the time, you know, the players loved them. If you're not winning games, it doesn't matter. But it does give you just like this little inside look of not only where the players are, but where the coaches are. And why Ryan Poles trusted certain people to still be here when maybe others thought he should, they shouldn't.
I certainly was one of those people, but now I'm cheering for his success. So good place to end it. Taylor, thank you so much for hopping on to episode 2 of Hard Knocks Life.
Yeah, thank you.
Next week, we'll be back, hopefully, as a live stream after the episode. I have my best friend in the world lined up. He was my co-host for the history series, Hallis the Mac. So hopefully everything goes well with that, and you can join that, because we have been talking about Hard Knocks for many, many years and hoping that the Bears would do it. So I wanted to get him on. So join us next Tuesday night after the episode for that. And until next time, we'll see you around these parts, and bear down.
Sounds good. Bear down.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.